Does traditional employer brand measurement still work? Sure, things like retention rates and cost of hire matter, but more often than not, these data points are not solely based on your employer brand. So how do you actually measure your employer brand? More importantly, how do you measure if the strategies you have put in place to improve your employer brand have worked? This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what your employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company, and quantifies these findings into a single number indicating what areas work and which don't. Want to learn more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sandsvejsan! Guess what? It's Jörgen Sandberg here. That's right, with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. The key word here is employer branding. So, employer branding is making its way into the corporate boardroom. But what about the small and medium-sized businesses out there? As we know, they're spinning a lot of plates. I know that. Should employer brand be one of them? I think we should have a little chat with the Robin Hood of hiring himself. Let's start the show. Brad Owens, how are you doing?
Very well, Jorgen. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. So please let our listeners know who you are and what you do.
Oh my goodness, what don't I do? All right, so I am a solver of employee problems. So I spent a decade helping Fortune 500 companies as an external recruiter. So I helped all the big guys find some talent from people straight out of school all the way through top C-level execs. So I got to see hiring from a bunch of different levels. And what I found was most of the companies that need recruiters are... it's because they're hiring poorly. So yeah. They wouldn't need recruiters if they hire better. So I thought, all right, well, instead of spending the decade that I did beating my head against the wall trying to tell companies like Coca-Cola that they're hiring poorly, why don't I go somewhere where my talents would more likely create a larger impact? So I decided to focus on small and medium businesses. And you know, they are really at that point where they don't even know the first thing about putting a job listing out there. So it's fantastic for me to be able to take these skills and just make an incredible impact. So I guess that's the basics of what I do. But you know, outside of that, I'm a white picket fence away from American dream. I've got married with the wife, two kids, golden retriever, suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, just missing that white picket fence. And other than that, just here to be the Robin Hood of hiring and help out some companies.
Yeah, so that's your LinkedIn headline, the Robin Hood of hiring. I like it.
Yeah, right,
so can you define small and medium-sized businesses? How many employees are we talking here?
Sure. So I have dealt with companies that have zero employees and are looking to hire their very first one. And I've dealt with companies that have had 150, 200 employees. So, you know, anywhere under the textbook definition of small business of, you know, under 500 employees is really where, you know, my main impact's being made. Not to say I don't work with companies that have higher, but if we're like thinking about the statistics here, my majority is under about 500 employees.
And the way you work is that, would you go in and actually do the hire for them, or do you help them to employ a strategy around to hire the whole process?
So my goal is so that they don't need me. Now, that's why I call myself an HR coach. So I want to go in and help them develop strategies, help them develop things that, you know, my ideal client wouldn't need me anymore. So yeah, while I know that there's a lot of HR companies out there that will, you know, put people in your place of business and have them there for as long as it takes. And yeah, sure, that might lead to longer term revenue for them. I just don't feel like it's doing their best work. If they're doing their best work, then empower the companies to do it themselves. So that's what I do.
Great. Okay. And how does a small to medium-sized business go about to increase the number of qualified applicants for their positions?
So this comes down to employer branding, which I know you know, and the podcast is all about here. So that's why I really wanted us to connect. So one of the big things that small businesses don't really understand is this employer branding concept. You know, a lot of the big guys get it, and I'll challenge you. Actually, I think a lot of the big guys don't get it all that well. They think they do, but they don't do it the right way. So, you know, I know you know that. And what I see a lot of small businesses do is they're stuck hiring in the 1920s. So back in the 1920s, you know, terrible economy, there's not many jobs and there's a whole lot of people looking. So they wrote job descriptions and job ads that sounded something like, here's the exact person we need. Here's all the qualifications they have to have to get a chance to interview for this job. Sorry, that doesn't work anymore. There are a lot less people on the job market. There are a lot less perfect people for you. So you need to start switching around to attracting the right people. But what I do see is that as soon as companies start focusing on not hiring, but attracting talent, they get a lot more highly qualified leads for themselves. And they don't have to sift through the hundreds of terrible resumes that the typical companies have to.
And at what size of company do you think you should start thinking about employer brand versus perhaps looking more at the culture or values?
So when you... Good question. Is there a time when you shouldn't be thinking about that?
Well, I do know from running a small business myself, you know, you're juggling a lot of things. So you have different priorities. I guess sales would be number one.
Sure.
But, you know, where does the employer brand sit in the pecking order? Left in your top 10 priorities?
It's not going to get you the long-term perfect person for you if you're not thinking about culture and you're not thinking about values.
Mm.
So that's probably the place that I would start first. Once you have all of that stuff down, though, then you know, you need to start working on your branding around that. Because the more people know about you, about your business, about what you care about, the more they're likely to refer the people who are going to be good fits for that culture and for you. So, you know, I would definitely start with the basics of the culture and the values, but not long after that, you should be thinking about the branding surrounding that.
And okay, all right. So we take a step back and look at the culture and the values. What does an exercise like that look like? And what is the output? Is it the fact that you put some values up on wall, or you just discuss what the culture is? What's best practice?
So let's use an example here. How big of a business do you want to apply this to?
Let's say 27.
All right, 27 people. So that's big enough that your culture is probably spread beyond you. And if you're at a point now where you're just starting to thinking about the culture and the values and things like that, then you're probably at the place where it might not exist the way you think it exists. So the very first step I'd do if I was that CEO, that company owner, I would start going around to each and every person who has a high level role in the company, all my managers, anyone who has someone reporting to them, and just start asking them the simple questions of, hey, can you write down what you think it means to work at this company?
Yeah.
Can you write down how it feels to work here? Can you write down some of the things that are better about this workplace than the other workplaces you've been in? And then, you know, also ask the tough questions of what can we be doing better? What should we be changing? What should we be focused on that we aren't? What are we not living up to that we should be? And you really start defining what it's like to be in your organization. And you know, when you say what's the outcome of it, I don't care if it's up on your wall. I don't care if it goes in your handbook. If you're not living it, if you're not truly making every business decision by these core values, by this mission, then it's not really affecting your business life. So you need to go back and rethink it and try that again.
Okay, right. And I can imagine also when you're a smaller business, there's always budget constraints. Well, funny enough, it's the same situation in big companies, but sometimes you have to be a bit more creative when you haven't got a budget. What are some of the some good tips for small business, how they can do employer branding on a shoestring budget?
So I think the easiest way is to make sure you've at least got the base level properties in place for you. Once you have decided what kind of employer you're going to be and the kind of people you're going to attract and the values that you're going to have, then you'll put it out on the free sites. Go out to Glassdoor, make sure you claim your page and put the basics in there. Go out to LinkedIn, make sure you've got a company page that has the basics of what it's like to work there. Go out to Indeed. I mean, these are all free resources that you have available to you. Use them. Go to your web developer, which most small businesses I talk to, it's them. Add another page in your WordPress blog and write, here's what it's like to work here. Here's the experience. The very basic things. And then don't forget to advertise that. That kind of stuff doesn't really matter if people don't pay attention to it. So what's the very first way that most candidates, most applicants are going to be introduced to you? Your job ad. So I would challenge everyone out there when they're writing a job ad, big or small company, the very first paragraph should be about why people want to work with you and work for you. because most job descriptions say, here's what we need at our company. They don't care. They want to know why you'd want them to work there, why they're perfect, why they feel like that they would be a long-term fit for your organization. So that's all the very, very basic low-hanging fruit that I could see for really any organization.
Yeah, good points. And when you mention advertising, is that mainly on job boards or social media or Google and or all of the above?
I would start where your network already is. Don't go try and create one that's not there. That time and time again, the best source of a fantastic employee for you is through a referral. That might be a referral from someone who works for you, someone who knows you, one of your friends, one of your family, whatever it might be. So go to where your network already is and tap that out first. They know you, they know your business, they know what'll fit in. So that's going to be your most likely source. And then other places you could go, I mean, you don't have to use a job board. That's where most people are going to be searching. So I would, even just a free listing on Indeed is a good place to start because keywords will show up. So yeah, I'd probably use all of your free resources first. And then after that, start pumping it up a little bit.
Yeah, good point there. All right. And are there any pitfalls specifically for small to medium sized businesses? Any pitfalls around hiring, recruiting, employer branding in general?
Not setting out to listen to your candidates. Now, I say that because most companies, what they'll end up doing is they will look at a resume, they'll get a formation of what this person is in their head, and they'll start asking questions around what they already think this person is just to either confirm or deny what they already thought. So I love for some sort of company or some person, or maybe this is something that I should do, to come up with some sort of blind interviewing process. You don't know really anything about them, but they've already been through the whatever test or system or whatever you had set up for them to even land on your desk. So you know that they're going to be a good possible fit for your organization. And then you interview them without knowing anything about them. So you have to listen to them. You have to listen to their answers. And most people go into interviews already with questions prepared. They've thrown it into Google saying, what's the best questions to ask? And they're asking candidates, you know, how many ping pong balls fit in the 747 or some other BS. That just, those questions don't work. You don't know what you're really looking for and why you're really looking for it. So know your why, know what you want to get out of them, and really be selective about the things you ask to get that out of these people.
Great. And if we look around technology, well, what's a good tech stack for an SME, just doing recruiting, employer branding?
Without spending a good amount of money, I've just had people use the Google Suites. You know, I've put people through using a very free Google form as an applicant process. I've seen people use spreadsheets on Google Sheets. I've seen people set up, So normal applicant tracking systems, they have these really cool procedures where when someone applies, they'll email you back and forth. They'll, you know, set up all these automated things that happen, but bigger companies can afford the few thousand a year, multiple thousands of dollars per year that it costs for these things. Most small businesses can't. So I actually, I use an email marketing system that's called ConvertKit. And I actually just recently interviewed the CEO and talked to them about the awesome culture they have over there. But anyway, there is a really cool way that I found that you can actually use ConvertKit for only $29 a month to act as an applicant tracking system. So people will go to this form and apply to your job, give you their email, and then you can walk them through the entire process. And here's what you immediately get rid of. The number one complaint from candidates that I see is, I applied and never heard anything. Well, with an email marketing system like ConvertKit, you can do that. So you can actually send people emails and say, here's the update of this, broadcast out to everyone who's a potential fit for this and say, we've got another new job. So it's a tool that's not really meant to be an applicant tracking software, but is far cheaper and does some of the same things. So yeah, try out something like that, an email marketing program.
Interesting. Okay. And so here at Linkhumans, I mean, I've actually used Indeed. They have kind of a dashboard. So you use Indeed for recruiting, but you can actually, you put the jobs onto Indeed and you can track the applicants and interviews and all that stuff. But you can also put your own candidates in there. So that's, I guess, another cheap, actually a free version. But there's also a couple of other, you know, what I would call new generation ATS systems like Smart Recruiters and Mighty Recruiter. And I think they start, well, they are free. It's just all the add-ons will cost. Would you recommend looking into something like that, or are you better off with something simpler?
Well, no, the landscape right now is incredible with HR tech. I mean, there's so much. If you all want to look into it, I'm trying to think of what this, it used to be the HR Tech Conference. I'm trying to remember what this one, this new one is called, whatever.
Unleash,
that's it. Yeah.
Unleash the Beast.
They've got a, in the States here, they've got a conference coming up in May. And then I know that they're coming over and doing a few more over in your neck of the woods. Like there's going to be a lot of different ones. That is just incredible for HR tech. And I know they've got so many different things. So as long as you're using something to keep track of people, I'd say do it. Just find the one that works for you. There's going to be tons of them out there coming up. So just find the one that works for you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so I think Unleash, they changed names from HR Tech World or something similar because there's another event suite called something very similar, HR Technology or something.
Okay.
That was probably a good move from them. All right, so looking at ROI. So how can we measure ROI on employer brand for an SME?
Ooh, measuring that really comes down to, at this point for me, if you're happy with what you're getting. So, you know, the percentages of what comes in that is a good fit for you versus the percentages that are just a terrible fit. So normally when I see, and when I go into a company and I start seeing how many resumes they're getting, if we look at just the total amount of resumes that they get, I could throw any number out there at somebody. I say, okay, let's say you get 100 resumes in. How many of those are good? They'd say something like 2, 3. And you know, that involves a whole lot of wasted time there. That's like 97 resumes they went through that were complete waste of time. So if we're able to get that number down and now have, even if we only get them 20 applicants, but 19 of them are a perfect fit for them, that's a much better ROI. That's a much better measurement. So I would just look at your ratios. If your ratio of good candidates to bad candidates is way off, you need to do something.
So what is a good ratio? What's an average ratio and what's a terrible one?
Most of the companies that are having problems probably have a terrible candidate ratio above, it's probably 75% of terrible candidates that they're getting. So I would say if you're at that point, think about something different. I have gotten my clients down to things like 90% good candidates. Now, I just had, just this past week, I opened up a new position for one of my clients. They only had 5 applicants, but 3 of them were perfect. So now they already have their final 3 candidates in a week. And yeah, they only got 5 applications, but what does it matter when they got their perfect candidate?
That's it. And sometimes when I used to work in recruiting, we said, all you need is that one candidate. So even if you only have one application, if that's the right person, and then it's a hole in one.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, okay. And can you give us some examples of companies who you think are doing this right and that we can learn from?
Oh my goodness. All right, so shameless plug here. Go check out smallbusinesshiring.com. What I do is I have a podcast. It's called Small Business Hiring. I go out and I talk to all the companies that have been voted a best place to work. And I talk with them about what amazing things they're doing, why they're doing things differently. So I've got an entire podcast filled with these things if you want to go see them. But most recently, Media Minefield, it's a small company that I guarantee no one's ever heard of. They've been voted best place to work. I think it's like 3 or 4 times in a row now. And they are doing such great things just because they have built this culture of we're all family around here. They all take each other under their wings. They all help each other out. They're a big team environment. They're just doing fantastic things. And they've got one hell of a leader. So go check out that. We talked about ConvertKit. They're doing a great job. They're almost 100% remote company. I think they've got now 20 employees in 26 different cities and 34 total employees. And they've still got a fantastic work culture. They get together twice a year. They make sure that they all have open door policies. They're really big on openness and honesty. So ConvertKit's doing a fantastic job there. About to coming up on the show, I've got Asana coming in. I've got Zapier coming in. All these really nice tech-based startups, they're just doing fantastic things when it comes to culture. So it's really exciting to hear from them.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think Buffer as well are completely, everyone works remotely and they come together like once or twice a year. I know that because I follow them on Instagram. So I see when they get together and it looks great.
Employee branding.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the one issue here is that these are all kind of cool tech companies. What if you're in a traditional industry, perhaps not in a growth sector where you're a bunch of accountants. What can you do to emulate these successful businesses?
Oh, you know, I've had companies on this show that have been local bike shops. I've had companies that have been bake shops, local coffee shops on the corner. It really comes down to caring. A culture of caring really makes a huge difference. You'd be surprised how many people go into work and they just don't feel like they matter there. They don't feel like everyone cares about them. All right. Hey, Mr. Bruce Wayne. This is my Bruce Wayne. This is my cold retriever who wants to come say hi to everyone. So hello, everyone.
Hello, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's come up to say hi. Speaking of that golden retriever, American Dream, right? Callback. So yeah, amazing companies that aren't these high tech, they still have the opportunity to create these kind of environments by creating a culture of caring. They can just make sure that they care more than everyone else. Now, I heard a quote from, I have to go back and look at who did this, but he was talking about, I think it was Ryan Dice. He was talking about how the smaller companies, the mom and pop shops, can take on the big companies like the Amazons. How can you take down someone that sells everything? Well, he said, you care more. He said, if you care more, you show more compassion for your employees, for your customers, you can create these kind of environments that attract amazing people and amazing customers. So I think just by making a culture of caring, you'll be well ahead of your peers.
Great. Okay. All right. So if we look into Brad's crystal ball, what's going to be the next big thing in this space?
In the recruiting space, in employer branding space, we can go a bunch of different ways with this. Which space do you want to talk about?
I mean, how big is this crystal ball? I mean, give us some of the top line trends.
So I think we're going to be seeing a large shift towards companies that focused most of their website around their employees and working there. Because, you know, with the big shift towards these companies that really care about people. I mean, think about how big Zappos got so quickly. Think about how exciting it is to learn about Facebook and their employees and Amazon and their employees. I mean, this word starts getting out. And the more that people understand that the happier your employees are, the better you will do as a company, they will start focusing on that more and more. The trend is there. If you look at the graph, if you go to one of the best places to work sites, I think it's just thebestplacetowork.com. If you go to that site, there's a graph right on the homepage where it shows the trend in the stock market price of a company, the S&P 500, and then a trend in the stock price of all the companies that have been voted a best place to work. And over the past 50 years or so, however long they've been doing this, the trend is that companies that have been voted a best place to work are doing four times better than the standard S&P 500 index. So this is not just a making your employees happy. It literally makes your company do better than everyone else. So I think we're going to see a lot more companies start focusing on this and make sure that they invest in this early and often.
Fantastic. Great. Okay. So thank you so much for your time today, Brad. How can our listeners learn more about your work? Where can they tune into the podcast and where can they connect with yourself?
Sure. Well, myself, very easy. BradOwens.com. You guys can come get me there. It normally links to my social media of choice. And as of today, it's Twitter. By the time you check it, it might even be different. So keep an update on BradOwens.com. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to come check out the podcast, smallbusinesshiring.com. And that's where I talk to all the companies that have been voted the best place to work. And on that, every Thursday, I actually do a live stream where I just take questions directly from the audience. So you could get the direct link by going to hiringlivestream.com. Check all that out. And I'd love to have you guys out and be a part of the audience. We're a great knit group over here. We have a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you.
Very, very welcome. Thanks for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything Brad and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you will be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. And be sure to check out his podcast as well. Really good stuff on there. Now, how do you measure employer brand? I mean, you can aim to win awards, plenty of those around. You can fulfill a good supply of qualified candidates. That's probably a good result. You can impact retention, also very useful. But how do you measure how you're actually performing in the eyes of your candidates, your employees, and your alumni? And ultimately, the owners of the company, your shareholders. We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners like yourself to understand the company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what candidates, alumni, and employees think about the organization, presented in an easily understandable and actionable report. And you also get a score, which you can track over time. Very happy to discuss and show you a few sample reports. If you're interested, just get in touch. Ping me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com or head over to employerbrandindex.co. Okay, right. So have we got any champagne lovers out there? I'm not talking about the Californian or the Russian stuff. I'm talking about the real deal, the overpriced French bottles of sour bubbly. Well, it can actually be rather tasty sometimes. How about getting a sparkling bottle sent straight to your desk? Now, this applies to whether you're in Canada, Mongolia, or Liechtenstein. We ship globally. Now, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. All I'd like to ask you is to give an honest review of this podcast in the podcast app on iOS. And you're going to be in the draw to win this bottle of champagne. Yeah, we do this every year. And last time I sent a bottle to Wales, and the year before I sent a bottle to California. Right, so it's really simple. Please, please, please do a review for us. Just an honest review will do. And I will then randomly pick one in 1 month's time, one person, one review, and we'll ship that bottle straight to your desk. So thank you so much in advance for leaving a review. And finally, if you want to stay on top of what's going on in the world of employer brand, that includes podcasts such as this, articles, events, books, all that stuff. Go to linkhumans.com and sign up to our monthly newsletter. Very GDPR friendly nowadays. Scroll down and you'll see the sign up form. Lots of tick boxes, lots of confirmations, but once you're in, you'll be getting it straight into your inbox only once a month. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up with you next time. Hey, do!
So Ernie and Bert were going out for dessert, and Ernie said, hey, do you want to go get some dessert with me? And Bert said, sure, Bert.